You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
We do have to talk a little bit about A.J. Brown. He got 9 targets in the game. A lot of them looked like bullshit targets to me. 3 of them were out of bounds. 3 of them were over his head. Not even
I like the term bullshit targets.
Welcome in, everybody, to a Monday morning edition of Birds 365. A victory Monday here on Jacob Sports. We've had quite a few of them. The Eagles win again, everybody. 31-25 is your final score. And the Eagles move to 4-0 to start the 2025 campaign. Welcome into Birds 365. Don't forget to hit the like button this morning. Johnny Mack, how you doing on this Monday morning, brother?
Doing well. 4-0. Finally exercised the demons in Tampa. It's kind of ugly, but that's how this team wins.
Yeah.
Ugly. I can't explain it. I told you before the show we were talking, I said, you know, it's my job to explain it, and I can't explain it. You shouldn't be able to win this way on a consistent basis, and they win this way on a consistent basis. So, yeah, you see games around the NFL, and you go, how could they do this? They can't do this. They can't do that. And then they match up against each team, and it might be some – and that's the most impressive part. You know, last night, yesterday afternoon, it was the block punt that set the tone. The week before, you had the 2 block field goals. I mean, they win every way possible. So that's a very positive trait. On the other hand, you know, to play that well in the first half, how do you explain it? That well in the first half, and that poorly in the second half offensively, which is a freaky Friday situation from the week prior, which was the brutal first half and the great second half. How do you explain it? You know, you can say, oh, the idiot play caller, because that's where everybody wants to go. Well, why is he so good for one half and not the other half?
Right.
And people want to blame it on this or that. And you know, it's obviously it's a confluence of things, but yeah, it doesn't make sense on so many levels. And the drastic, like that was one of the best halves Jalen Hurts has ever played. That was probably top 5. He was almost perfect.
Yeah, he was great.
He was almost perfect. And the second half, he can't complete a pass. It's like, you know, when Michael Jordan's going to score 60, he looks pretty good in the first quarter, and he looks pretty good in the fourth quarter. It's weird.
It is weird. It's so odd. And I feel the same about Jalen, as you just mentioned about Petullo. And I'm really not in the camp of fire Kevin Petullo. I think that's stupid commentary at this point. But, you know, I hear some people do who think it's on Jalen Hurts, and I kind of have the same response, John. Then why do I watch him play so good in the first half? How do I watch him play so good in the second half? You know, is it just he's not a consistent player, or is it their approach that changes the way everybody produces, both on the sideline and on the field? I don't know. It's a tough thing to gauge with this team. It really is.
Well, you know, it's 2 things, you know, I should have gave more thought to, but, you know, after the game, you're just thinking about the game, but I should have given more thought to the hit Saquon took where he was banged up. And he was out there trying to get his knee loose as far as, you know, him, his poor performance in the second half, which was a bunch of negative runs, maybe wasn't healthy, as healthy at least. And then Jalen took that hit where he got checked.
Yeah.
He got checked for at least a concussion, you know, very briefly, but he got checked. And maybe, you know, because he was off target on a lot of those throws, even though there wasn't a lot of separation, he was drastically off target. So maybe he was a little shaken up, and maybe he was a little bit affected by that. because I often talk about concussions are junk science, but you know, the idea that somebody can, oh, this guy's got a concussion, but this guy, it's one of the stupidest things in the world. 10 years from now, we'll go, what the hell were we doing? Right. Similar with other things.
But they can still impact the player, to your
point. Yes. That's my point. Yes. Thank you. You said it better than me. Just because they said he didn't have a concussion, and they seem to be more liberal with quarterbacks in the NFL, to be bluntly honest, when it comes to guys coming back, you know, you hear a center going out, he's out. You hear a quarterback and he's magically cleared. Just something to throw in the pot is what it was. Clearly he was not the same guy in the second half. So maybe that affected him as well, or maybe he just played poorly. I mean, but it's bizarre when you play that well. The two extremes are the bizarre part of it.
Extremely bizarre part of it. No doubt about it. John, we do have to talk also a little bit. We'll talk about the defense. We'll get into everything today. We'll have Jeff Kerr as well and our usual Monday guest. I want to welcome and thank everybody for being here. All right, the good news is the Birds are 4-0. All right, everybody. So they just keep finding ways to win. And if you can
think. By the way, can I interject?
Yeah, absolutely.
It has now gone officially today, one calendar year, because the Eagles lost in Tampa on September 29th last year, that Jalen Hurts has started and finished a game. They have not lost for one calendar year. Officially,
that is incredible. I mean, it's incredible what this team is doing. So they're 4-0. That's the good news. And if it does feel like if this team can continue to build and put everything together at the right time, man, they're going to be a wicked good team. I tweeted out in the first half, when this team clicks on all cylinders like they did in that first half, offense, defense, special teams, they look damn near unbeatable. Now, it was a different tune in the second half, but at the end of the day, you know, you're still building and you're still trying to get to your best form. You don't have to do that in September, obviously. You want to play your best football late. But Johnny Mack, we do have to talk a little bit about A.J. Brown. He got 9 targets in the game. A lot of them looked like bullshit targets to me. 3 of them were out of bounds. 3 of them were over his head.
Not even I like the term bullshit targets.
Really. Well, they were. I mean, you know what I mean? Because I saw one dude who's like, you got 9 targets. Why is he crying? I'm like, dude, come on. You know they weren't 9 real targets for A.J. Brown. As you mentioned, Jalen was a little inaccurate in that second half. And then he takes to Twitter after the game, John, and he tweets out 2 tweets from A.J. Brown. One of them was, I love you with all my heart. I love you all with all my heart, or something of that tune. And then the other thing was a picture of a quote that he put up, which was, I believe it was a Bible verse, and I'll try and find it and read it exactly as.
Yeah, it was a Bible verse.
Yeah. And it says, Mark, if you're not welcomed, not listened to, quietly withdraw. Don't make a scene, shrug your shoulders and be on your way. And that's what A.J. Brown tweets out. It's got 4 million views on his Twitter, which I'm sure he knew was going to happen. I don't really know what to make of this from A.J. Brown. He declined to speak after the game with Jeff McClain. I don't know. John, let me come to you here. Your thoughts on this A.J. Brown, his tweets after the game, and just where we stand with him as a player.
Mark 6:11 for all you Bible devotees, if you want to check it out. But, I generally lean on A.J.'s side. I'm, you know, generally team A.J., I like to say. Because I understand, I think he's a good teammate, captain. I think he does a lot of that. I've never seen a star receiver do as well with the dirty work as A.J. Brown. I think the diva stuff, I pushed back on that for years. I don't agree with it. But I don't think he should have done what he did yesterday for the simple reason, and I already heard, 2 pretty high-profile people talking about, well, that's Kevin Petullo and Nick Sirianni. I don't think it is. But you open up that kind of speculation by doing that. And, you know, AJ usually talks after the game. I wasn't there, so I can't speak to it. But, I don't agree with going to Twitter and not explaining yourself. Because you leave it open-ended. And then there's going to be that. So I think I know what he's doing, and I'm not going to talk about it, but I think I know what he's going to do. And the reason why is because I've talked to him off the road.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and fleet services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Record, but, and it's off the record. But you open up these different avenues for people to take that baton and run with it. And that's what they're going to do.
Absolutely.
So that's the part I disagree with the way he handled it. But I'm fully on board with the frustration, and I get it.
Yes, me too.
From that standpoint, in this offense, you know, this is the first time where people say, "Is AJ going to be here? Are they going to trade AJ?" This is the first time, at least it slips into my mind that all right, he's just not happy anymore.
Yeah, I agree.
Which, again, I understand because he's too good of a player to be, I don't want to use the term wasted because they won a Super Bowl. They won 20 of 21. So it's a weird situation from that perspective. But if, from an individual standpoint, he's being wasted. I guess I'll describe it like that.
He is. He's absolutely being wasted. And I'll say this about AJ Brown. I know it's not the best thing in the world to go to Twitter like he did. I understand all those things, but
because, well, also think about the quote real quick, Xander. Think about the quote.
Right.
Which is, I consider that, excuse me, that's he tweeted out too. I'm looking at the other one. If you're not welcome, not listen to, quietly withdraw, don't make a scene, shrug your shoulders and be on your way. So think about that quote and think about those 4 million views he saw. By doing what you did, AJ, you did not quietly withdraw. You did the exact opposite. In our world, social media, it's exploded to the point where you're shouting it from the rooftops.
Right.
With no context, then people are going to take it any way they want to take it. So anyway,
you're right about that. But this would be my one problem. You know, I see a lot of people talking about AJ's this selfish diva wide receiver.
Now that's not true.
We shouldn't listen to him because he's a receiver who just wants stats. And you know, I think back on the 4 years that AJ Brown has been a Philadelphia Eagle, and I think in many ways he's epitomized what you want in a teammate that is a star receiver. Star receivers come with a certain persona, a certain, you know, thing that you have to live with. It's just how star receivers become star receivers. He's been a team player every step of the way. He steps out and blocks for Saquon Barkley on the outside. He does all these things for this team and what seems to me that he's a great team player. And then quietly the last couple of weeks, he's made subtle comments. Oh, we got to do this. We're not on the same page. We got to communicate better. We got to try and get so that guy who has, in my opinion, been a great teammate for this team is telling us, hey, we have a problem on offense and nobody wants to listen to him. So I feel like he feels like nobody's listening to him because they think he's a diva and he just wants the ball and doesn't care about winning while he thinks there's a problem with the offense and this isn't going to be a team that's going to win late in the year. I happen to think he's right. And in a way, it's almost disrespectful to him the way they devise game plans without him. It is to me. And I don't.
Well, that I don't agree. I don't agree with that because I've seen some of the, and I don't agree with that. And I don't even think AJ would agree with that, to be honest. They devise game plans with him. Again, there's a lot in a game plan that never gets called, that never gets used. You saw it. You know, that Dallas Goedert touchdown out of the diamond formation, somebody texted me yesterday. That's been in their chest for 4 years. They've never pulled it out. This is the first time they pulled it. That's been there every week for 4 years. And that's the first time they pulled it out. That's an extreme situation, but that's an example of like there's a wide ranging stuff. And as I said, Nick was taught early in his career by his mentor, Larry Karras, that there's always a piece of his game plans where your top playmakers are highlighted. So in other words, you got to get AJ the ball in the passing game. It's AJ, Devontae, Dallas in that order. And it's listed right there, 11-6-88 football guys use numbers. But so he's always in the game plan. So that part I don't agree with. The ability to get to plays, the ability to allow him to do some things with 50-50 balls, and I think it's the frustration. And I think, you know, part of that is, if you look at it, because everybody wants to blame the coaching staff, here's what you should blame the coaching staff, in my opinion. They have hammered it into Jalen Hurts, this ball security, and hey, it's worked to perfection almost, to the point that he's very, very, very cautious as a quarterback. And there's a give and take. But if you want to be the high-flying offense and you want to score a lot of points consistently, and you got to take some chances in this league. It's just, I mean, you have to take some chances. So, you know, the best example of the extremes is, you know, I always bring up the greatest show on turf, Rams. They didn't give a shit about turning the ball over. They were so good offensively. They were like, all right, we threw one. We're going to come back and score in 35.
That's kind of how I wish the Eagles would 50 play.
50 second. Well, I don't think they're that good. But that's the extreme,
right,
of one team. And I think the Eagles are the extreme on the other end, who are so ball security conscious. It's so important to them.
But they're good enough to not be that team. That's what I don't like about it. Like, they're good enough. They have the players and the team and everything you need to not be that team. But go ahead.
Well, I agree to that extreme. I don't think they need to be as an extreme. But again, they'll point to 42-9, which is the turnover ratio.
And I'll have to shut my ass up.
I mean, that's what they point to. But I do think it's time for people to ease up on the. Again, I you know, Mike Gill is the one who put it in my mind, and I'm like, they're not one of the best offenses of all time. Like, when you talk about that Rams team, when you talk about the Peyton Manning Broncos, when you talk about some of these teams that have scored 35 points a game, the 98 Vikings, I covered that team. They're not those teams offensively. They're not. They don't have the ability to be those teams offensively. So I think people need to scale back from that, oh, they can do whatever they want. But that said, they should be a very good offense, you know, top five offense.
Instead of taking this, John, as A.J. Brown as a receiver wants the football, which most receivers do.
They should, by the way.
That's how they become a number one wide receiver.
You don't want a receiver who doesn't want the football.
And you don't get to the level of these guys without a healthy level of selfishness, which somebody pointed out to me last night. It was a great way to put it. But I don't necessarily view this as only an A.J. Brown thing. I think A.J. Brown is telling us all there's a problem with this offense. He's been a team player for 4 years here. Now he's telling us things. And it appears many fans and many people don't want to listen. And they're like, it's A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown's a diva. A.J. Brown just wants the ball. Who cares? We keep winning. I think it's a little deeper. I think A.J.'s saying to you all, hey, this isn't going to work, guys. This is not going to work. And I think he might be right. Is it wrong to take it that way?
Well, it's wrong to take it from that way in the standpoint of it already worked. But what the problem is now is they had an historic running game last year, and this year they're averaging whatever, 3 yards a carry with Saquon Barkley.
It's worked for four games. I'm not going back to last year.
No, but I mean the framework worked to play to win at the highest level, which I freely admit. I said it wouldn't, and it did. So I freely admit I was wrong. For the people who think I say I never wrong, I freely say it all the time. I didn't think they could win last year playing this way. So I certainly don't think they could win this year because they're not doing it as effectively. So from the standpoint of, yes, he's pointing it out. Yeah, I agree with you. But from the standpoint of, well, they already proved they could win this way. They have to obviously sharpen up the running game and get that going if they want to continue to win this way. But from the standpoint of AJ was saying the same things last year. So was Devontae. So was Jordan Mailata. So was Jalen Hurts. So was Nick Sirianni. Now, in different ways, but they were all saying the same thing, that we have to get, we have to fix these issues. So it's nothing new. It's nothing new other than the production has dipped to dramatically poor levels.
Yeah.
Which is the bizarre part. And the even more bizarre part of that is it's dipped to dramatically poor levels and they keep winning anyway, which makes no sense, which is how I started the show. I'd love to explain to you how they're doing this, but it's not explainable.
It isn't.
And you know, you're winning games with a block field, with a walk-off block field goal. You're winning games setting the tone with a block punt return for a touchdown. Like I've said this before, you're winning games with C.D. Lamb dropping the football, with Travis Kelce dropping the football. And you could say, rightfully so, and I get, whoa, so-and-so dropped the football, blah, blah, go to back to week seven. Yeah, the point is, do you want to count on those things week in and week out? Do you need one of those outliers to happen week in and week out? So far, they have. And they have happened. But if they didn't happen, a lot of these same fans would be jumping off roofs because they'd be 2-2 or whatever. And the sky would be falling. Chicken Little situations. So, you know, I think AJ's trying to get ahead of it like he always does. But I think everybody knows they want to get better. It's... The problem is last year they were competent. This year they've been bad.
Running is what you're talking about.
No, I'm talking about passing the football.
Passing.
As a whole. But running the football, yes, they've been yeah, bad.
You're right.
And they were historic last year, and they've been bad this year. So, yeah, the offense has to get better. And the weird part is you look at the second half against the Rams, you look at the first half against the Bucs, and you say, wow, they looked unstoppable for the first 30 minutes.
I tweeted it out. I'm like, if this team clicks on all cylinders like this, they will not lose a game.
And then they turn. And again, maybe Jalen was a bit foggy, you know, because he got hit. Maybe it's as simple as that. You hate to hope somebody's injured, but it would explain some things.
Right. It would be an explanation.
If it was completely healthy, then it's worse because it's like, well, what the hell happened here? Yeah, but anyway, but for the standpoint of how he handled it, and I love AJ, but yeah, I would not recommend. And you can't say don't make a scene when, and I'm not saying he knew 4 million people were going to view that, but he knew a lot of people were going to view his stuff.
Yeah, he knew.
So, I mean, by definition, you're making a scene, even though that's how people, you know, younger people than me, how people handle things is go to social media.
Look, part of me wants to think I'm team AJ Brown. Now, look, I get it. You don't really want somebody going to Twitter to air out your problems on the football team and all that. I understand that. Obviously, you don't want that, but I think AJ's right about the offense. I do. And I think most Eagles fans, I know everybody falls to the, oh, we're 4-0, who cares? And I get it. But at the end of the day, man, we have way more. We see the problem. Anybody who watches the game sees the problem. We had zero completions in the second half. Last week, we were tail of two halves again. Putrid in the first half, dominant in the second half. Dominant in the first half, putrid in the second half this week. Like, if you look at the game, you see the problems. I know there's a collection of fans who are just like, 4-0, shut up. Who cares? There's nothing wrong. It's like you used to say, John, you win the Super Bowl and people act like there's not a single thing to fix. Wrong. Ask any 4-0 team in the history of football if they had things to improve. I guarantee every single one of them would say yes. So I think they got things to fix, and I'm team AJ on this. I mean, yeah, you don't want to tweet it out. But I think this dude knows there's something wrong with this offense, and we got to fix it.
Well, I think he's known it for a long time. I know he's known it for a long time.
My fear is that he's going to be right this year, and we won't be able to go the distance. I mean, AJ Brown right now has 151 yards through four games. Now, again, I'm not going to play this game, but he's on pace right now for 640 yards.
It's been bad. The passing offense has been bad. Like you even look at the first half, which was almost perfect, and they still only had 130 passing yards, I believe.
Yeah, 130 in the first. Yeah.
You know, this is not a high flying offense, to put it mildly. And you know, that's nor should it be, because that's not what they're shooting for. But there's got to be a better balance. There's got to be more explosiveness. But I have scaled back from that sort of thought process that this should be one of the best offenses of all time. Look, not even close. There's no evidence of that whatsoever, that they could put together that kind of production.
They certainly have talent, in my opinion.
What is pretty clear cut is they've been basically a top 10 offense for years, and that should be the goal. I'm not even saying top five, but top 10 should be the goal. And it's still very early, and there will be a game. I don't know when. It's not going to be this week, I don't think, because Denver's pretty good defensively, but there will be a game where they light somebody up and everybody will be happy for a week and say, why can't you do this every week? There will be that game. I truly believe that, but it won't be consistent, and that's what they're shooting for, and that's what AJ is trying to get to. And maybe they're just not capable. Maybe that's the reality of the situation. Maybe they're just not capable.
I don't buy that. I'm sorry, John. We got a couple super chats we're going to get to. We got Jeff Kerr coming up. Jeff, I see you in the groom. We'll get to you in a second. I got to give some love to James Carver, though, John. Look at this. He sends a string of four super chats, 10, 20, 10, 20. So thank you, James. They're all one. So I'm going to try and read them all as quick as possible. James Carver, though, thank you for the support, man. We love you and we appreciate you. Good to have you back in the chat today. James Carver says this, first one. J-Mac, with all the criticism of the offense, and I get it, but biggest concern is injuries known and unconfirmed. We know Landon's hurting and Lane's effectively known with the last two games, 2 out of 4. But do you know if Cam's hurt? Because he's not only been slowed and slowing to make his moves all year, especially the second moves after setting the double, regardless of climbing or not, but also stretching his back during drives more each game. So I get conservative look if the line is really two fifths at best as Steen settles. But what's with either or with inside or outside numbers passing? No slants this week or week two, but full of them weeks 1 and 3. And then he says, also, AJ has to be injured because there's no nines. I assume he means like a 9-yard hitch route. There's no nine stops over the shoulders, back shoulders, slant speed outs, and bubbles. He doesn't seem to have the bump and go speed or doubles last couple games. Smitty's getting them. So let's start with this first point about the offensive line, because I do think he brings up a good point. I mean, if you look at it that way, you're looking at a two-fifths healthy offensive line. What do you know, and what's your response to that part of it, John?
Well, number one, a nine route is a go route. So, you know, there's or a fly route, depending on, you know, terminology. But AJ's healthy. You know, they were just being cautious. He's been very emphatic about that. He's healthy. And you've seen him, the go routes, you know, down the sideline, or Devontae in the middle of the field. But for Cam, I mean, yeah, he's coming off back surgery, so it's always a concern. And I did see him stretching. So, you know, but you know, people who have back problems stretch. And you know, I thought he played well the first two games. The last two games were a bit of it. I do think, James, I do think people don't pay attention to the opponents a lot of times. Yeah, like Vita Bay is a handful.
Yeah, right.
And the Rams might have the best defensive front.
Yeah, you're trying to do a play, and the defense is trying to mess up your play. Yeah. You know, sometimes they win.
So I do think people need to pay more attention to the circumstance of who's out there on the other team, and maybe that explains some of the issues. But yeah, I mean, anytime you go through back surgery, it could be a problem. And yeah, I think it's fair. You know, one of you and Jeff's going to come in, and we could bring in Jeff in.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
You know, one player, and I'm not going to say who, he just called this league soft. So, I mean, guys leave quicker today. I can't prove it, but, you know, injuries around, if you look at guys who aren't playing each week, it's unbelievable.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.